when this matter came before the Seanad to the legislation enabling a referendum to remove the offence of blasphemy from our constitution, I've opposed it. And I oppose it because, well, first of all, it is an unacceptable waste of money, in my view, to be spending, we estimate, €3 million is what it costs to tag a question on. And so we'll have the presidential election on the same day. But when you factor in all the additional expense about putting another question and extra ballot papers, which have to be counted, kept secure and counted and all that, it's estimated it's about €3 million of a cost. To do what exactly? Well, to remove a concept from the Constitution that hasn't been given trouble. We haven't had a prosecution for blasphemy in this country since 1855. When a person brought a private prosecution for blasphemy about 20 years ago in the Corway case, it failed, and the Supreme Court ruled in such a way that it was clear that a prosecution for blasphemy couldn't succeed. And in the defamation legislation then of 2009, the then Minister Dermot Ahern addressed the fact that you had the constitutional offence of blasphemy, and he legislated for it in such a way that would make it impossible to prosecute, because there has to be, I think, the intention to cause outrage to a substantial number of adherents to a belief in matters that are sacred, and a substantial number of people have to be so outraged. And in addition to that, he installed all sorts of defences for people that could plead, you know, artistic merit or literary merit or whatever. So basically what Dermot Ahern did was, instead of putting the country to the expense of a referendum, he said, look, this isn't really giving trouble, and we'll make sure it doesn't give trouble, because the freedom of expression protections will be so strong in the legislation that there can't be any prosecutions. And that's exactly the way it has been. Now, I argued at the time that in principle I've no problem with there being the idea in our law, including in our fundamental law and our constitution, that something that's blasphemous could be seen as wrong, as something unlawful. Because we can all imagine that if people set out to give deliberate offence to a huge amount of people, deliberately and for its own sake, without there being any religious reason of, you know, teaching your own faith or arguing about faith matters which people are entitled to do, or any literary or, you know, social good, well, you can see how that's the type of thing that promotes, you know, social discord. So I think the principle of there being the possibility of a restriction on speech around issues like blasphemy, I have no problem with that. Just as we all accept, I think, that there's no problem with limiting freedom of speech when we want to prevent incitement to hatred, for example. And it's interesting that the Constitutional Convention a few years ago, when they were making their proposal, they proposed the removal of the offence of blasphemy, but installing some kind of defence, as I recall, for protection against religious hatred. So why did the government just, you know, bring forward this costly referendum to get rid of a word out of the Constitution? Well, I, as far as I can see, it is a vanity project. It is something designed to appease a certain section of our society that has just developed a terrible intolerance of anything to do with God or the notion of God. Because it's interesting, they're not trying to get the word, get it out. You know, the Constitution also provides in the same place that seditious comments shall be unlawful and indecency shall be unlawful. But, you know, and it's hard to define what's indecent. And your idea of indecency, it might be different from mine. And certainly our common idea of what's indecent might be very different from what people thought in 1937. But there's nobody bothered about the fact that the Constitution has this ban on indecency. But blasphemy causes a certain itch to a certain type of person who is intolerant of God, the role of faith in our society, and they can't help scratching that itch, in my view. And I think that's what the government is pandering to here.
I mean, could it be a nervousness? Because, you know, they've seen blasphemy laws in the past, they've seen blasphemy laws in other countries, and they've seen people be treated very harshly because of them. So they just are thinking, you know what, let's just get it out and let's not have no room for allowing something like that to come back.
Well, that's certainly part of the argument the government wants to make. I mean, I think, you know, the Minister for Justice suggested that we were, you know, somehow shamed before the world because we had this idea of blasphemy, in our constitution, which I actually think is a completely ludicrous thing to say. The Americans have a very good commission on religious freedom, and in a report they did on religious freedom in 2017, they said that Ireland's laws on blasphemy were among the least restrictive in the developed world. So I would say to that, give me a break. It is undoubtedly undoubtedly the case that blasphemy laws are used in a terrible way, in a dangerous way, in places like Pakistan, where people can be accused of blasphemy, and we've seen cases like Asia Bibi and so on, the terrible way in which an accusation of blasphemy can be used to oppress a religious minority. I think we'd be much better off showing them what a blasphemy law should look like in a modern society by showing how, yes, in principle, it can be offensive to do something blasphemous, but we also need to protect freedom of expression. And I think the Irish law is so respectful of freedom of expression that it's probably more useful to have it there as a model that you could point to countries like Pakistan rather than get rid of it altogether because we're somehow allergic to God. Public money is a big issue. I've been critical of this government, how flahuloch they are with taxpayers' money. We saw a few months ago when they were promoting Project 2040, you know, all these grandiose visions of things that we're going to develop in the future, but which we might never actually get done. And all of the public money that they were happy to spend promoting their big plans on bus shelters and buying up newspaper articles and so on. I mean, it really is disgraceful that our government would spend public money in such a cavalier fashion. When you consider the 3 million euro, that would pay for, as I understand it, maybe 10 or 20 people to get the Orkambi drug for a year. It will pay for, you know, 3,000 medical cards, 10 hospital beds. So, you know, each time we waste public money because we're posing, as opposed to doing some useful social good, then I think that there's an immorality about that. And you know, I don't want to use really strong language, but it is actually an immoral, vain use of taxpayers' money.
Are a lot of people aware of that? Because, say, for myself or for someone else who isn't aware of the whole process that goes into adding a letter or adding a question onto a referendum, we would just think, well, you know, you're just adding on a question. It's not really going to cost anything. And so why not have it in there and let people vote on it?
They are the government. They have the votes to put whatever question they want to the people. But there are moral choices involved in the decisions you make about what questions you put to the people. I mean, this isn't nearly as serious as other issues we've had to deal with. Only this year we've had an abortion referendum. That's going to have huge consequences for our country, in my view. I don't think the Almighty God is losing sleep or quaking in his boots because Ireland might or might not keep the word blasphemy in the Constitution. But I think the electorate is entitled to wonder at the way our politicians are spending their time addressing fiddly-faddly issues which aren't causing a problem to anybody, which hasn't been prosecuted since 1855, and spending around 3 million of public money. It was the Law Reform Commission back in 1991 that said that having a standalone referendum, you know, on this issue would be a costly exercise and a waste of public money. So suppose the government can argue that at least they're running it on the same day as the presidential election. So instead of it costing, you know, 12 or 15 million, it's only costing 3 million. But you know, I leave it to your listeners to decide how do they feel about 3 million of their money being spent for no good reason.
It's hard to even imagine what would be involved to be prosecuted by the blasphemy law.
Well, it is, because in addition setting out to cause deliberate offence to a large number of people in a matter sacred and then causing that offence, you'd also need not to have any defence that you were doing it for some literary or political reason. I remember when the legislation was being discussed in the Senate, I tried to tack on some amendments, because what was interesting at the time was the government had less interest in allowing protections for religious believers who might want to sincerely disagree with each other about matters of doctrine, including, you know, saying things that the others might regard as blasphemous. So say, for example, the late Ian Paisley, if he wanted to say that the Catholic, you know, notion of the Eucharist was a complete nonsense and the idea that the Almighty God could inhabit a piece of bread, you know, said in a certain way, some people could see that as a really blasphemous thing to say. But the reality is that in order to express freely one's opinions about reality and about what is true and what is not true, you have to allow such scope for people to express themselves. I was disappointed at the time that there wasn't the same willingness to put in an exception for people who had a religious reason for communicating their ideas. So it's kind of ironic, because you're taking away this insulting of God idea as being a crime, but you're not even going to allow religious people who might be communicating from a religious or theological perspective the same scope that you would give an artist, and so on. And of course, every now and again we get situations pointed up, like Stephen Fry, you know, railing against God and accusing him of being responsible for all the suffering in the world, etc., etc. But the whole point about that is that nobody prosecuted Stephen Fry. You know, a few angry people might have said he should be prosecuted, but there was never any question that he would be. Because in fact, we live in a society in the West, this part of the world, it is saturated with free speech to the point where you can argue that some people are often damaged by it in terms of indecency or pornography or whatever you want. Frankly, our laws on blasphemy aren't the ones causing the problem.